You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
Before I sing this, I just wanted to read it in Hebrew so we can really understand how powerful this song is. And if you were here for Rosh Hashanah, you heard Crystal say that they're doing this song. Most synagogues will be doing it for the Yom Kippur service. So it's Avinu Malchenu, which means our Father, our King. Hear our voice, our Father, our King. We have sinned before you. Our Father, our King, have compassion upon us and upon your children. Our Father, our King, bring an end to pestilence, war, and famine around us. Our Father, our King, bring an end to all trouble and oppression around us. Our Father, our King, inscribe us in the book of life. Our Father, our King, renew upon us a good year. Hear our voice, our Father, our King, renew upon us a good year. So I just pray that that would be our prayer as we go into the new year. And just keep your eyes just completely focused on our Father, our King.
Avinu Malkeinu, Shema Koleinu. Avinu Malkeinu, Chatanu Lefanecha. Avinu Malkeinu, Chamol Aleinu. Vetapenu Avinu Malkeinu Kaleh Devi Vecherev
Shana Tova, Avinu Malkeinu. So we're in the book of Jonah, and really, if you remember this morning, we mentioned Romans 8:28 says that God works all things together for what? For good to those who love him. You know, and you really see that story, for good who loves him and are called according to his purpose. That's pretty amazing, pretty powerful in the story. We just touched on it a little bit this morning, talked about the background of the book among the 12 prophets. And so I'm not going to review the stuff we talked about this morning, but we really talked about at the end where Jonah was asked, what is your profession? So he goes in which direction when God tells him to go to Nineveh? Opposite direction. Okay, let's have that map up there. Where's the map? There we go. Okay, the map. And God says, Kum, you know, rise, get up, go, and Kara, let's say Kara. Kara is the call, call to Nineveh. And the word call, summon, means summon, cause to change in direction, change in direction. And he doesn't really go specifically. God never mentions to Jonah to tell them he's going to judge them and punish them. He just says he wants them to turn to him. And Nineveh was the Assyrians were very cruel to the Jewish people, but it seems mostly that occurred later on. They were already a cruel people, but later on God actually used them to judge his people. And some rabbis have surmised, well, maybe this is why Jonah didn't want to go, because he knew prophetically that God was going to turn around and use this people if they repented to later judge his own people. But I don't really think that's necessarily the case. I think Jonah just had a problem. he just didn't, you know, he went in the opposite direction. And we sometimes go in the opposite direction when God calls us, don't we? Sometimes we, and yet the Lord turns things around. So where can I go from your spirit, it says in Psalm 139, from your ruach? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. I can't get away from you. If I go to Sheol, to the netherworld, look, you're there too. Wherever, go to settle on the other side of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand will lay hold of me. And so Jonah on the ship, the storm comes. Remember, big storm, huge storm is what it says in the Hebrew, big storm, that God is sending. And they challenge him. They say, what's your work? Where are you from? What's your land? What people are you? From what people are you? What do you do? Where are you from? What do you own, basically? Who are you joined to? You know, we're joined to people, you know, and we have a community. We need to be. The closer you have, you know, they always in medical practice, always, you know, some of the questions in a checkup are, should be, you know, who is your group? What group can you turn to? You know, do you have to help you? And it's always, you know, and it's very important that we have that, and we hopefully find that here. But we need a circle of friends that we can trust. And he answers, his answer is amazing. Evri Anochi. I'm a Hebrew. And we went into that word ever, and it means, remember, to from the other side, the idea, ever, from the other side. He says, I'm from the other side, but basically, I fear the God who made heaven and earth. I fear the Lord of heaven who made the sea and the dry land, and this is who I am. This is who I am. So his identity was that he belonged to the Lord. God had called him. And so we'll move on from there. That's what we talked about this morning a little bit, how we stand in contrast to the world. We're from the other. My primary identity is I belong to the Lord. Paul said, Acts 27:23, he said, the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. And you belong to the Lord. This is how Jonah defined himself. When we're called upon to say, who are you? You know, first thing we should think about is the Lord, right? I know when I had doubts as a new believer, you know, as I've mentioned before, you know, doubting God's existence, I realized I had to even talk to God about my doubts about him. And so that made me realize, wait a minute, the Spirit is in me. I do know God. There, he is real. He does exist. may sound silly, but look at then chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, or whether on in hand or on your phone. I know my phone's off, but my Bible might work if it's still in there. But did Jonah, verse 12, we see Jonah is fleeing from the presence of God. It mentions a few times. They knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord in verse 10, and they realized, they were afraid now, the sailors, and they said, what should we do so the sea will become calm for us? For the storm was raging on. And he said, pick me up, throw me into the sea. Did he have a death wish here? Did he want to die rather than pursue his mission to do God's will? Maybe. Maybe it was that bad. And he said, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know it's because of me that this great storm is upon you. So he knows he's in rebellion against God. He's going independent from God. Remember the meaning of that word, to flee. To flee is bolt to bolt, but to become independent from God. And he said, and nevertheless, the men rowed. So they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to be responsible for his death. In verse 13, they're rowing harder to return to land, but they could not. And the sea kept raging. So finally, they cried. They cried to Adonai. They cried to the God of Israel. And they said, please, Adonai, don't let us perish on account of this soul of this man. And don't put innocent blood on us, for you, Adonai, have done as you please. So they picked Jonah up, threw him into the sea, and the sea stilled from its raging. Then the men became afraid, and with overwhelming fear of Adonai, they offered a sacrifice to Adonai and made vows. So how amazing. They become believers. This is saving faith. I mean, they're fearing God, trusting God, and the God of Israel, and they even offer a sacrifice to him and make vows to him. So because of, who can understand it? Because as a result of Jonah's disobedience, these people become believers. God works anything to his plan when he wants to. He can, there can be a situation you find yourself in, you say, I shouldn't be in this place. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And yet God can still use you and does. Have you ever seen it happen? I have. I mean, despite us, God can use us. And look at in chapter 2, then the Lord, and this may be 1:17, depending on your translation, but it's 2:1 in TLV, in a Jewish version. Now, Adonai prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The word prepared, mana, let's say mana. Mana, it's up there, that word. It really means to apportion, to divide and limit, to count. God apportioned. And four times it's used throughout Jonah's book. He talks about God apportioning a great fish in 2:1, a plant in 4:6, a worm in 4:7, and a scorching east wind in 4:8, chapter 4:8. So Jonah prays in verse 2. Jonah prayed to Adonai. This is the first time he's praying. He was sleeping in the boats. No mention anyway of him praying, but now he starts to pray and call upon the Lord. Sometimes God has to make us kind of miserable, doesn't he? Sometimes make us very uncomfortable, and he's in the belly of a fish, probably a whale, the great fish is all we know, and he's now he prays. And what's amazing is Jonah prays numerous, he cries to God, and he prays and cries to Adonai. He quotes numerous psalms. There are about 20 references, 20 different psalm references in his prayer in chapter 2. Imagine that. So he was well-versed in the Word of God, in the Psalms of David. And we'll see in a little bit also where he mentions actually from the Torah, Exodus 34, he quotes it. So he knew the Word of God, and David had lived about 300 or 350 years earlier, and he's quoting these psalms in his prayer. From my distress I cried to the Lord, he answered me, and all these waters surrounded me, in verse 6, surrounded me to my soul, and the deep and as my soul, verse 8, was fading from me, I remembered Adonai, and my prayer came up toward your holy temple, and on he goes. So prayer is important. Prayer, the Hebrew root is of tefillah is palal. Let's say palal. Go to the, it's on a screen. I have it. There it is, palal. Okay, palal. Yeah, that was the fish. That was it. All right. Prayer means, palal, the root means to mediate, to bring together. Think about what prayer does. Prayer brings us together. It brings us together with one another. We're unable to agree on something. We're in disharmony with one another, whether in your marriage, whether in a group, but in a team. And when we pray together, what happens? We find ourselves in harmony. We find ourselves. You ever notice that? It's amazing. And I'm not talking about prayers for, like, listen to me pray. You know, like, look how well I pray. I'm not talking about prayers for impressing people, but prayers, honest prayers from the heart. When we really begin to seek God and we pray and we go to Him and we forget about ourselves and we just seek the Lord. Prayer brings, evaporates the differences. It really does. But even more, prayer brings us together with God, because that's what, and it starts with Him, and then with one another. It's not that God comes into alignment with us, is it? But it's that we come into alignment with Him, right? That's what happens. When we pray, when we really start, we start realizing where we're selfish, or where we're not, or where we're blind, or where priorities are wrong, or where it's all about me and God, and it shouldn't be. It's about God. And He cares about us. He loves us, and He'll do things for us. But He wants us in alignment with Him. And now we're ready to do His will. And that's what happens with Jonah here. He says in, I remembered Adonai. He says, and there's a difference when you belong to Adonai. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who is in you, and you whom you have from God, and that you are not, I am not my own, right? We were bought with a price. So he says, glorify God in your body. And so look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of Adonai came to Jonah. God spoke to the fish in the previous verse, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. And someone's supposed to demonstrate that here? Or, no. Okay, that's what happened. The word of the Lord came. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. What time?
A second time.
And the same thing. Rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out to it the proclamation that I am telling you, or that I will tell you, really. And look, but is this the same thing as the first time? Verse 3? No. So Jonah what? He rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of Adonai. So God, not to be trite, but it's really true, God is a God of second chances. And He doesn't change His mind based on our rebellion, thank God. Aren't you glad of that? He didn't change His mind. As a matter of fact, the command is the very exact same command. Go, rise, get up, go to that city, go and cry out against her, saying, I haven't changed, Jonah. I'm still calling you to go. You blew it. You went. You're in a mess because of it. You need new clothes now. you're a mess. But I'm still, my hand is still, my command is the same, go. And Jonah, this time, goes, and he obeys. In verse 4, says that Jonah, says, well, let's read it. It says, Jonah began to come into the city, the day's journey. He cried out, saying, another 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. I don't know if the Lord told him to say that or not. God wanted them to turn to Him, to turn back to Him. But Jonah wanted them to be destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. And his language reveals this. It eventually would happen, by the way, but in God's time, not Jonah's time. Not this time. The people, thank God for this generation, look what happened. Then the people, verse 5, of Nineveh did what? They believed God. These are non-Jews. These are enemies of the Jewish people, really. And they believed God. They become believers. They called for a fast and wore sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And even the king of Nineveh rose from his throne, took off his robe, covered himself in sackcloth, and he made a proclamation. And so in verse 10, when he said, verse 9, who knows, God may turn and relent, turn back from this burning anger that we may not perish. And when God saw their deeds, that they turned their wicked ways, God relented. So God did change things around. And the word aman, let's say aman. Next one, I think. Slide. No, nope, never mind, back. There it is, aman. Okay, aman. Like where we get amen, brother. It's really amen. Emunah is the word for faith or trust, and it really means to depend upon, to rely upon. So they put their trust in God, and so they have the salvation of the sailors and now the Ninevites. And look what happens in chapter 4. Ready? So Jonah's thrilled over this, right? No, he is not. I think he would have. He should have been, but no. It greatly displeased Jonah, and he resented it. He resented it. Let's say the word chara. That's the word that's up there in Hebrew. It means to be overly sensitive and to be annoyed, terribly annoyed. And it's mentioned in verses 1, 4, and 9. Jonah's angry. He's resentful. He's overly sensitive. He's annoyed. Jonah was fine with God as long as God did what Jonah thought he would do. He's fine with that. Are we like that sometimes? We're fine if God does it what we want, what we thought he would do. We're fine with it. But when he doesn't do what we thought he would do, and he does it differently, and he has a different plan, we get upset. Is my relationship with God immature? Does my well-being and do my emotions depend upon God fulfilling my expectations? I'm happy as long as everything's going my way. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oklahoma. I grew up on those musicals, you know, the class. I'm happy everything's going my way, but when it doesn't go my way, I'm upset. And so I'm not going to serve you, God, anymore. I'm not going to follow you anymore. Lord, I'm going to, oh my goodness, that's so immature. And if some believers aren't taught the word of God well, they don't know how to stand when things happen like that. They're taught a certain wrong doctrine in their theology, and they're taught that God always does exactly this, you know, and if you just claim these certain promises, and if you just say these words, and if you just do, then it will work. And then when it doesn't happen that way, their faith collapses, and they say, I guess God, the Bible isn't true. But it's not that the Bible isn't true. They didn't learn it right. They didn't understand what it was. That's immature. And God doesn't fulfill it. It's us coming into alignment with Him, not Him with us. And He does know God's word. As I said, verse 2 is where He quotes Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. says, please, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my own country? That's what I anticipated, fleeing. That's why I ran, fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and full of kindness. He's quoting Exodus 34. He says, and relenting over calamity. So please, Adonai, look at this. Take my soul from me, because better is my death than my life. Wow. He's actually suicidal. Not that he's going to take it himself, but he wants to die. He's very depressed and wants to die. I'll get into this in a minute, but look, let's just read it a little further. And yet Adonai said, what does God say? God asks him a question. God asks him a question. A lot of times God asks us a question. He wants us to hear, to look at ourselves. He wants us to, it's little self-reflection and revelation. God says, is it good for you to be so angry? Is it good for you to be so angry? Now let's look, the words chanun is, as he's quoting the word of God, gracious, chanun, means to show favor to the undeserving, to assist those who fall but cannot rise. Compassion, rachum is that where we get rechem, the womb of the woman. Protect from harm, eternal mercy. Then chesed, great kindness. I won't have you say them all, but devote one means to devote oneself entirely, give oneself. God is very patient with Jonah here. He's very patient, but listen, he's not sentimental with him. He's not sentimental with you or I either, folks. I remember in a congregation, the only one time where I didn't start it, I was taken over. I was working for an organization, and it didn't succeed. It's the only time it didn't succeed when I started something. It didn't. I mean, I'm saying that because the Lord. Well, this the reason was, I inherited something, and I never was the shepherd of it, or the rabbi of it. It was a messian, but. There was one person there who mothered and babied everybody in the group. It was, you know, about 30 people started, but it could have grown. And every time God was trying to help someone grow up and mature, she would mother them in such a way, not in a good way, but would keep them from growing and stifling their maturity. God sends things that cause us to grow. We become men and women, become mature. We've got to grow up. But the word of God will help us to do that, and love and support, but not support for our flesh, helping us mature, helping us become mature and taking responsibility. And here's what happened. God says it's good for you to be angry. So Jonah went out from the city, and he sulked, basically. He went out from the city, sat east of the city. He made a sukkah, coming a sukkah soon, and he sat under it in the shade, until it's hot, you know, Middle Eastern sun, until he saw what would happen to this in the city. That is so funny. Verse 5. He is so stubborn. He says God's going to destroy it. He's going to do it. And God already said he's not going to, but he is determined to see this still happen. God is forbearing with us, but doesn't baby us. And too many believers baby each other when they need discipleship. God says, is it good for you to be angry? Is it good for you to be angry? See, look what happens again. God prepared a plant. Adonai prepared a plant, grew up over Jonah to give him shade. And so Jonah was very happy. Oh, his emotions, he's jumping. Oh yeah, everything's great about the plant. But God at dawn the next day prepared a worm that crippled the plant and it withered away. When the sun rose, God prepared a scorching east wind, probably a chamsin, as they say. And if you've lived in Israel or been there during a chamsin, it's the wind that just, oh my gosh, just dries you out. You've got to drink lots and lots of water or you'll dehydrate. And it just comes from the desert and you don't realize till it's there. And all of a sudden, everything, dust everywhere. It's really, really incredible. And the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint, so he implored that his soul would die. Here he is again. It says, my death would be better than my life. And then God said to Jonah, is it good for you to be so angry about the plant? Is it good? In the word good, yatav, there it is. I have it, yatav, up above the chara. Yatav means benefit, healthy. Is it healthy for you? Is it healthy for you, Jonah? Is it helpful for you to be overly sensitive and annoyed and angry? God's probing him, provoking self-searching in him. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, Jonah. It's not going to help. Is it helpful for you to do this? Is this getting you anywhere? Look at 1 Kings, and I got to finish up so we can get back to the rest of the service, but I want 1 Kings 19. I'll turn there. If you have it, you can read it. Got it somewhere. Where do I have it? Oh, there we go. 1 Kings 19, God dealing with Elijah. Very similar. See this? Very similar. God's dealing with Elijah. Both servants. Remember Elijah, verse 9, when they arrived at the cave, this is, he's fled from Jezebel, because she's going to kill him, and Elijah bolts, same thing, frightened, runs for his life, and he comes to a cave, verse 9, and he arrived there at the cave. This is after great victory. He had such an amazing victory. Remember, killed the 400 prophets of Baal, or 450, however many. And God was with him, you know, everything working. And now Jezebel says, and I'm going to kill you, the wife of the king. And he gets scared for his life, and he runs from a high to an extreme low. When he arrived at the cave, he spent the night there, and behold, the word of Adonai came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" What are you doing here, Elijah? He repeats that again in verse 13. He says, basically, "What's for you here, Elijah?" in the Hebrew. "What's for you here, Elijah?" And he starts saying, "I've been zealous for God," and he's defending himself and saying, "I've been doing great, and I'm the only one left. There are all my people, all the children of Israel, unfaithful. They're unfaithful, but I alone am left." And then the Lord says, "Come and stand before the mountain," verse 11. And the Lord, passing a great and mighty wind, shatters the cliffs. Huge, mighty wind. Then God was, says, "God's not in the wind." Then the wind was in. After the wind was in the an earthquake, and not God was not in the earthquake, and then after the earthquake, a fire, but Adonai was not in the fire. We don't have time to go into all this. I would love to teach it more in depth, but can you imagine all this happening? And then the soft, still, small voice, which I really, in all seriousness, would translate like the Simon and Garfunkel song, "The Sound of Silence." That's really what the Hebrew reads. The sound, this, you can't, it's like a contradiction. The sound of silence. God's still small voice, the sound of silence. And now Elijah heard, he comes wrapped in his mantle, and here he asks him again, verse 13. All of a sudden, a voice addressed him and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What's for you here, Elijah?" And he's still, "I've been zealous for God," just like Jonah, you know. He's still caught up in, you know, look what I've done, and I'm the only one left, and now they're seeking to kill me. And, you know, it's same idea. He says, and the Lord tells him to go back. And God, remember, tells him in verse 18, Paul quotes this in the New Testament, Romans 11. He says, "I've preserved 7,000. You're not the only one. You think you're the only one. You're not the only one, Jonah. I have 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal. And so you're not the only one." So, again, Jonah, is it beneficial for you to be upset? God, is it really helpful to you? Back to the book of Jonah, he says, this word, verse 10, but Jonah says, Adonai says, "You had pity on the plant." Jonah says, "I'm angry enough to die. I'm resentful enough. I'm annoyed enough to die." Lord says, "You have pity on the plant, which you didn't labor for, that I made this plant to give you shade. Appeared overnight and perished overnight. Shouldn't you have pity?" The word chum, pity, let's say chum. I'm sorry, is it hum? Hus, pity, care, just what it said. And he says, "Shouldn't you have had pity on the people of Nineveh? 120,000 people, they don't know their right hand from their left, as well as many animals." God even cares about the animals. He says they don't get salvation, I don't, you know, the way humans do, but God cares about the masses, you know. And he says, we read of many others who rebelled against God, who tried to go independent of his call and assignment, whether it's Noah or Abraham or Moses or Gideon or David or Sarah, Esther, in different ways. The Lord didn't give up on them. Thank God. God, as I said this morning, quoting, it wasn't regarding Jonah, but Rabbi Svi Nightingale, he talked about God has a plan B. So it plan B. You may delay what God wants to do. And if you keep rebelling and never turn, and you know, it's possible, obviously, and I can harden my heart and things can, but God is going to keep working with it, keep trying, and he's going to, and God has a plan B. It can work together for the good of if we love God and we're called according to his purpose. Aren't you glad for that? Peter's story. Peter says after Yeshua's death, "I'm going fishing." John 21:3. He's fed up. He thinks it's not going to, you know, this is, oh, he's probably depressed. It didn't work out, you know. That night, how much did they catch in John 21? Again, don't have time to go into the story, but they caught nothing, evading God's call maybe, And Yeshua comes, says, Simon, again, questions. Yeshua questions, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Feed my sheep. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off yourself, folks. Get your eyes off yourself. Okay, I'm speaking to myself. Get your eyes off yourself. Okay, I'm included with it. And follow me and do what I've asked you to do, and you'll be fulfilled. And it'll work out. Repent. I'll forgive you. And seek, go after me, and it will work out. Peter later, look, ends up preaching in Acts chapter 2 at Shavuot, and so many, and what, 3,000 get saved, you know, come to the Lord. And then late in Acts 10, we read when he saw the vision of the non-kosher animals and the reptiles and the birds, and he heard the words, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Acts 10:13, he, of course, refused, but when he understood that he was being told to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, just like Jonah is here, in the same idea, bring God's message to the Gentiles, for the very first time, at the God-fearing home of Cornelius the centurion, he submitted. And he got up, it says, and he went, Acts 10:23. And where did all this take place, by the way, with Peter? Where did that call come? Where did it? In Jaffa, exactly, in Jaffa, just where Jonah went from. And how about Paul's positive response to the call of God? He said in Acts 26, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Rather, I kept declaring, first to those in Damascus, then Jerusalem, throughout all the region of Judea, and also the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds consistent with that repentance. Acts 26, 19 and 20. Read the whole story. It's amazing how that happened. So, Father, we just thank you for your call in our lives.